Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Yeah, I think that's as we stand here today, it's probably really hard to put a pinpoint on, but there needs to be a progression. I don't know how many points or standing slots that is, but we can't finish second last in the league. I think the standard has to be raised, the expectation has to be raised. Through that, accountability will be raised, and so and that's the nature of the path we're on. Eventually, we have to start making positive steps, and I think we've reached that point. I'm not saying that we're going to be competing for playoffs or Stanley Cups or anything this next year. I don't know how realistic that is. It's the best league in the world, best players and best teams in the world. And so to say we're just going to improve a whole great deal in the standings is difficult, but we need to be better. And it's time to take a step forward. Last year we finished, previous to this year, we finished third last, we finished second last. That can't happen again. We need to start moving up and onward, and so that's the exciting part of the process. Is that it may not be a huge leap, but there has to be some positive momentum to be carried forward starting next year.
Welcome into Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown studio. I got my guy Jack Heinrich riding shotgun with me. Jack, I had to rip up the original script to this Blackhawks Live because the Blackhawks made a fairly significant move a few hours ago, relieving head coach Luke Richardson of his duties. They ended up naming Anders Sorensen, who was the AHL Rockford IceHogs head coach. He's going to be joining the Blackhawks on an interim basis, and Mark Eaton is going to be the interim head coach down in Rockford. That sound that you just heard at the top was Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson in his exit interviews at the end of last season on April 20th. And that was basically Kyle saying, we can't settle for the status quo, and the Blackhawks need to take a step forward, Jack. And a big domino fell today in the dismissal of Luke Richardson. Just your initial thoughts, Jack, and then I can kind of try to contextualize all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked. I was just leaving the gym when the email came across to come down here. I know that's been a hot topic amongst fans, is they were questioning his job security just based on performance. And I get it. I think the big thing for me, once you get into looking at Connor Bedard's overall development, that's the biggest thing. And whether it's all Luke Richardson's fault or who's at fault, that's the main thing. So if he's not producing, that's your future. And if they feel like that's the time to make it, that's the time to make it. Luke was always great with the media, but they unfortunately didn't get results on the ice. And it seemed like a lot of the players liked him too, but it just, something wasn't clicking on the ice. It's been really 2 years of feeling like you've watched the same game over and over again. And unfortunately, it cost him his job at the end of it, about not even 2.5 years into it.
Yeah, so I'm surprised, but I'm also not. And the reason I say that is,
well said.
I'm not surprised, because the quote that we just heard from Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson at the end of last season, basically saying we need to take the next step. And you look at the standings right now through 26 games, the Blackhawks are 8-16-2 with 18 points, and that is dead last in the NHL. And typically, around American Thanksgiving is a good barometer that NHL teams use across the league on what you are as a team. And so this is 2 months into the season. Hawks are dead last in the NHL. And so I'm not surprised if we're kind of going based off Davidson's comments at the end of last season that they made the change, because they weren't progressing in the way that I'm sure the Blackhawks had hoped to this point. Having said that, you look at some of the kind of the underlying numbers, and the Blackhawks have actually been fairly competitive. I mean, you look at in 25 of 26 games this season, the Hawks have either led, tied, or trailed within one in the third period of every single game. And then you look at the The Blackhawks goal differential, it's minus 18, but it's a little misleading because the Hawks have allowed 11 empty netters this season, and they've only scored one empty netter. So if you kind of eliminate the empty netters, the Hawks' goal differential is minus 8. And last season, the goal differential was minus 111. I mean, that's a substantial gap. And so the Hawks were nowhere near a pace of flirting with the minus 111 at this point. And so I'm trying to contextualize the additions that the Blackhawks made over the offseason, adding Teuvo Teravainen, Tyler Bertuzzi, Ilya Mikheyev, Pat Maroon, and Craig Smith, those five forwards up front. On the back end, Alec Martinez and TJ Brody, and then goaltender Laurent Brossoit, who has not played a single game for the Blackhawks yet this season because of the knee injury. On paper, it looks like the Hawks had made improvements. But, you know, I threw out this stat a few weeks ago. The Hawks scored 178 goals last season, okay? It was last in the NHL. If you add 50 goals to that total from last year, that would give them 228, and that would still be fifth worst in the NHL in goals scored. And so you look at last year's roster, and you almost became numb as to how thin it was, in part because of the injuries they dealt with. But it seemed like the additions that the Blackhawks made this summer felt like a substantial upgrade, but it kind of was an upgrade to the point where the Hawks are now a respectable NHL team. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to last year. I mean, you could just see, look at all the players that were with the Blackhawks last year. Tyler Johnson, Mackenzie Entwistle, Reese Johnson, Jacob Megna, Jared Tenorti, all those guys are in the AHL right now, right? So, and those guys were playing some big minutes for the Blackhawks. And so here's where I'll kind of defend Luke Richardson. To some degree, it still felt like the roster isn't good enough yet to kind of be more of a middle of the pack NHL team. And I've referenced this a couple times now, but in the season one or the season three, episode one episode of the Every Shift that the Blackhawks released, they're kind of behind the scenes. Right before opening night, the coaching staff is in their coach's room with the Blackhawks management group, and they're looking at the whiteboard of trying to set the opening night roster. And Blackhawks associate general manager Norm MacIver is looking at the whiteboard, and he's clicking his pen, and he's kind of like, man, where are we going to get the offense from this year? And his direct quote was, where are the goals going to come from? If we want to be competitive, we've got to significantly increase our goal production. So on some level, before the Hawks even hit the ice for their first regular season game of the season, they were already wondering where the goals were going to come from. Now you look at how that's translated this year, and the Hawks have actually been much better defensively than they were last season, so they have taken strides in that department. It's really the goals for that has not, and it's kind of on a similar trajectory of last year. The only difference is the power play has been much better this year compared to last year. It's just they're really struggling to score at 5-on-5. And so, you know, if you're Luke Richardson, you're looking at the roster and you're like, man, it's definitely a better roster than last year, but it's still not up to the level of, I'm not sure what else Luke Richardson, like how else he could have kind of pried some more offense out of the team. And maybe there was like a, you know, I'm sure the Blackhawks organization is looking at it as a whole too, about how they can generate more offense. And maybe it's just, you look at guys like Connor Bedard, Teuvo Teravainen, Tyler Bertuzzi, Ilya Mikheyev, all these guys that were brought in to help shoulder some of the offensive load. It feels like they were all slumping at the same time. And then at some point, it just became a results-oriented business. And unfortunately, Luke is kind of the guy to take the fall. And so now they're going to try to bring in Anders Sorensen. And I'm sure they'll do a full-blown search at the end of the season to kind of see which guy would be the right fit to lead this Blackhawks team to the next step and also into the championship window for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I think that's all fair points. Is you look at that first free agency day, it was just a frenzy. What was it, like 8 guys they signed? So yeah. I think naturally fans are just like, oh, well, we should be a lot better. And they were competitive in a lot of games, but you could kind of see it starting to wane a little this last month in November. They just couldn't win games. And like you said, they couldn't score. I remember I think after they came back from that road trip at the beginning of November, like it was just one or two goals for like a 2 week stretch. So maybe this is something to shake it up, and the players, it's kind of like a wake up call, like, oh, like, you know, like this can anybody can go in this kind of business. So it is tough because, like you said, I mean, Luke Richardson takes this job over 2 years ago, and their Blackhawks were very open about, we're rebuilding. It's okay if we lose some games. You know, we're trying to build for the future. We're trading guys off. We have all these picks. But I think 2 years ago, I remember just talking about that roster should not have been as competitive as it was. And I thought that was a lot of credit to Luke Richardson for getting the guys going. Last few years, it seems like that kind of left. Like, I don't know how to really say it, but there's just some games last year where it's just like you could tell right away it wasn't going to be competitive. And it's kind of lingered into this year with even more veteran players. So maybe it's just changing up the voice in the locker room. But 2 years ago, it seemed like Luke was the guy to kind of bridge, maybe even bridge the gap or be there when they're good. And it just shows you how fast things can turn when you don't get results. I mean, like the clip you played at the top, they want to win more games. I don't think they were necessarily expecting them to be in the playoff hunt, but I think they wanted to get out of the bottom three, and right now they're sitting in last, and I think that's probably what drove it. And Connor Bedard's production, Teuvo Teravainen said he's lost some of his confidence. Tyler Bertuzzi hasn't done much, so maybe it's just a whole shakeup that they're trying to do.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's where you can kind of defend the decision to let Luke go. If you feel like we're 2 months into the season, if you feel like confidence is waning inside the locker room, Connor Bedard has had a sophomore slump, and you want to make sure that his development isn't stunted in any way. If you felt like it was going to be hard to kind of stay the status quo through the rest of the season and risk the locker room getting in a really dark place mentally, then I definitely understand the decision. You know, the thing I fear potentially is, you know, that this is going to be in a couple of years, this is going to be a very coveted job for the Chicago Blackhawks, right? Like, they're going to have a lot of the young guys here
on
the roster.
If it all works out, yeah, it should be.
Yeah, exactly. And so my only, I guess, worry, fear, I don't even know what the right word would be, but going into the summer now, I'm sure they're going to do a full-blown head coaching search to tab whoever that next guy will be. And, you know, I kind of brought an example a few weeks ago. I think it was on this show, but we were talking about the Montreal Canadiens and how they were going through a little bit of a rebuild, and a lot of their younger players are in the NHL right now. Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, Lane Hutson, Yaroslav Slavkovsky, Kirby Dach, Caden Gooley, Alex Newhook, all of those guys that are going to play important roles on the next great Montreal Canadiens team is already in the NHL, and that's kind of why there were potential whispers on Marty St. Louis' job in Montreal. He's also kind of in a similar situation as Luke Richardson, being a first year head coach, and this is his fourth season in Montreal, and that season is not going the way Montreal hoped. With Chicago, who are the players on this Blackhawks roster that are going to be for sure pieces on the next great Blackhawks team? It's Connor Bedard and it's Alex Vlasic. I mean, maybe Wyatt Kaiser and maybe Lucas Reichel as well. So from that standpoint, it was kind of difficult for Luke Richardson because he doesn't have any of the younger players like the Lefshinov, the Korchinskis, Frank Nazars, Oliver Moore and Sam Renzel. They're still in college. Nick Lardis is still in juniors. So it's not like he was underperforming with the roster that's expected to kind of be the next great Blackhawks team. And so from that standpoint, it's probably difficult to juggle if you're the Blackhawks management and we're trying to wrestle with this decision. But that's kind of where I fall on all of this. Like, I understood it from a Blackhawks management perspective of saying, hey, listen, we want to be an organization of our word. We don't want to settle for the status quo. We were clear in what our expectations were during the exit interviews last season and saying we don't want to be a team that finishes near the bottom of the NHL standings. And that's where the Blackhawks are through the first 2 months of the season. So it would have been hard for Kyle Davidson and his team to justify sticking with the current plan. Having said that, I'm not sure what coach would be able to get more out of Tyler Bertuzzi, Teuvo Teravainen, Taylor Hall, like the guys that are expected to produce a little bit more. They haven't been, And so for me, this is kind of a driving force of like, hey, we got to make sure that the young guys that are in the NHL right now, Connor Bedard, that this doesn't go sideways for them more than it already has, where it's to the point where it affects their development in the long term.
I think that's just really the big reason is, one, they weren't winning games, and then you just look at some of those guys, like Connor, I mean, we talk so much about his goal drought, and he was talking about how he's frustrated, and I do think he's playing a little better this last week after he got a goal. But yesterday he didn't do much. He had a few missed defensive assignments. So I do think the timing is interesting just after the loss to Boston, and then they play Winnipeg on Saturday. But I think you made a good point that this is kind of an accountability, like, hey, we want to win more. And that's it'll be interesting to hear what Kyle Davidson has to say tomorrow when he talks about it, or whenever that is. But it'll be interesting to just hear what went into that decision. Why was it now? Is it because of the development? Is it because you're not scoring? Is it because you're not winning? It'll be interesting to see. And with Anders Sorensen, I mean, you look at Rockford, Frank Nazar is playing fantastic right now down there. He's knocking on the door to come up. Levshinov starting to get it going. I mean, Lasik has been down there, and now we look at what he's done. So hopefully he can just steady the development the rest of the year, and then we'll see what happens at the end of the year. But I think it'll be interesting for Rockford, too, with the change. How does that affect Frank Nazar and Levshinov and Kevin Korchinski as well? But, didn't think we'd be talking about this today.
Yeah, and to be fair, too, I don't think Luke Richardson is absolved from any criticism to this point, too. And I'm sure it's he's had a lot of sleepless nights trying to figure this out, whether it was the inconsistency in the lines, whether it was the handling of the Taylor Hall situation. Even watching the game yesterday, the Hawks get whistled or penalized for a too many men on the ice penalty at the end with the extra attacker, and Peter Mrazek hadn't left the net yet. So just some of those, you know, those that falls on coaching, right? And so he's not absolved of any criticism either, but just kind of wanted to be fair on both sides of how the organization needs to uphold their word of what, you know, they elevated expectations going into this year and the Hawks haven't met them, but also kind of being fair to Luke Richardson as well, saying, you know, the Hawks organization was still looking at this roster before the season and wondering where the goals are going to come from. And that's exactly where the struggles have been. It hasn't been defensively, hasn't been goaltending. The power play has definitely taken the next step. But I think when you put it all together, 5-on-5 scoring has been down, has been on a similar pace as last year. And the development of Connor Bedard hasn't been the way the Blackhawks had hoped. I think that is like priority number 1, 2, and 3. And that's where Anders Sorensen is actually going to come in, because he has that developmental background. He was a development coach for 5 years for the Blackhawks. And so that's kind of his expertise. And so you know that him coming here is make sure the Blackhawks can get Connor Bedard back on track and him feeling confident in himself again. All right, let's take a break. We got Scott Powers of The Athletic coming up on the other side. You're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romeliotis here with Jack Heinrich. I'm going to go to the phone line right now and bring in our guy, Scott Powers of The Athletic. And I should probably start with an apology, because before, Scott, before the Luke Richardson news dropped, I texted you earlier this afternoon asking if you could come on. I promised that you would be one of our first non-player guests, and then the Luke Richardson news drops. And you're a man of your word, though, so I appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us.
Yeah, I was ready to talk some Oliver Moore and Sam Renzel, but I think our conversation will be changing here.
Scott, I had it on my list. I'm like, I gotta ask about Scott's trip to Minnesota and scouting the prospects, but we'll save it for another time. Your initial thoughts on the Luke Richardson firing. Were you surprised by it? How do you kind of sum it up?
Yeah, I think surprised in the fact that it happened now. I think we can all agree that it wasn't going according to plan, and certainly they've struggled here, and they were supposed to do better this season. I was under the assumption, and everything I've heard, that Kyle Davidson was going to be patient with this, and you know he's going to kind of let Luke Richardson kind of figure this out, and ultimately I don't think Luke Richardson had to clear a very high bar this year. I think the Blackhawks have moved up to the fourth or fifth worst team in the league. I think that would have been a substantial step. Or we might have been talking about 20 points difference from a year ago, but now it would be 26 games in, and to have one fewer point than last season, it'd be last place in the standings, and on a trajectory that's even been worse than the last two seasons. I think it just came to a point where the record indicated things weren't improving. Connor Bedard seems like he isn't progressing, at least offensively. And, you know, you have players that Davidson went out and signed to improve the Blackhawks, and Bertuzzi and Cherubinen. And some of this probably certainly has to fall on the players, but maybe on Davidson as well. But I think at the end of the day, you know, Davidson's going to say that the coaching impacted this as well. And the fact that Blackhawks continually lost the and maybe game to game it was different, but they were all winnable games and competitive, and Luke Richardson just didn't seem to have the solution to fix what the issues were. And I'm surprised it happened this year. I honestly thought that they would let the season play out and probably walk away from Luke Richardson then having the option here. But maybe this has to do with Anders Sorensen too, where they really believe in him, believe in the way that he develops, the way he coaches, and this gives them a window to put him on trial. Where, I don't think, maybe he's not someone you hire as your next head coach without giving him 50 games to kind of give him an opportunity to prove himself in the NHL. Because I think the next head coach is really important, because you are at some point, they really need to take some steps forward in this rebuild and trying to figure out some winning hockey again. So. And, Sorensen has a, clear 56 games to improve and show what he can do in development, and certainly helping Bedard, but also maybe jump-starting some of these veterans that the Blackhawks had higher expectations for.
Scott, you're the one that started the stat, I think, a few weeks ago about how the Hawks were in basically every single game except one to this point. They either were leading, tied, or trailing by one at some point in the third period of 25 of the 26 games, and it's kind of been like a running tally now. How do the Hawks reconcile being competitive and kind of they have taken those steps where we haven't really seen many of those 5-1 losses where the Hawks were just getting skated circles around, versus you still look at the standings and they're dead last, and we played some sound at the top of Kyle Davidson from his exit interviews last season saying like we can't be last again. And so how do you reconcile the two, or the Chicago reconciles the two of they have been competitive in those games but they just haven't been able to put some more points together?
Yeah, it's hard because I do think the Blackhawks are better, and Luke Richardson deserves some credit for that. I think some of the changes they moved in the system, some of just having veterans in place, they are more competitive. They are within games. I don't see as many odd man rushes and, things that he's done with the neutral zone trap and, things that just allow them a better chance to be in games is in place. But it's offensively, like he hasn't been able to, kind of trigger a few more goals. Another goal or two would have such a huge impact. And I think it's hard. Where I'm sure Luke Richardson felt like this team was really close, and maybe that's why he's shuffling as many lines as he was and trying to just try. It felt like desperation the last few weeks, where you're trying everything up against the wall and hoping something sticks, and it didn't. And I think the larger picture still is Connor Bedard's development, and better this year, and whatever that step Davidson wanted, it wasn't, they weren't going to be a cup contender or a playoff team, but he wanted that step forward. But I think more importantly, he still knows that Connor Bedard's the key to whatever they do in the future. If they ever going to be a cup contender again, it probably revolves around how good Connor Bedard is. And you can see the frustration with Bedard. Certainly his confidence has been shaken this year, and some of that has to be on him. Like, he has to improve, but it didn't feel like the ideal situation where his line mates were being changed every game, and sometimes he's played in a more defensive role, and you certainly want him to be a two-way forward eventually and learn all parts of the game, but I think right now you want him to be as creative and as offensive as possible, and taking some offensive risks, because I think for them to be that team in the future, like, he needs to be a 40-50 goal scorer, and the guy who's elevating other people. It just never felt like that was the sense. Last year, maybe last year, Bedard came in and just, he felt like he was more aggressive. And he saw it early on this year, but when he hit that dip this year, they just, it felt like he needed more support at the time, and he just didn't get it where, Richardson, maybe at that point, was sort of saving his job too. I'm sure he was aware that he was being evaluated this season. And the Blackhawks need to be better, and they just never felt like they could get over the hump with him.
Yeah, it feels like it's twofold. Like, if Connor Bedard was producing or kind of has taken that next step this year, it probably translates into more goals both on the power play and at 5-on-5 for Chicago, and maybe it translates into more wins. But at the same time, I kind of, you know, like the Hawks probably don't make that move or make this move if Bedard is progressing. But at the same time, I don't think, like you look at some of the guys that they brought in to play around him, Tara Vinen, Taylor Hall, Tyler Bertuzzi, Philip Kurashev, all those guys have not been able to bring that secondary offensive support. And like, how much of that is just like roster construction versus all collectively, all those big horses just haven't been producing. So it's like, does that fall on the coach? Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think we're about to find out, right? Like, you're bringing in another coach, and if things are similar, if Tyler Bertuzzi can't figure it out, or Tara Vinen isn't, you know, becoming more offensive, and I think the first step is trying to put a lot of those guys together. And I do think Luke Richardson over the last week or two was putting more lineups together that made sense and that were more offensive. And you know, see when they beat Dallas and they beat Florida, and it felt like things were starting to roll a little bit. They had some offense production. And then they go into Minnesota, and you know, like, if they win that game, like, you, all of a sudden you're talking about, like, well, you had points in four consecutive games. You've won 3 out of 4. Like, there was a lot of momentum that felt like it was building. And then they lost a game that was another winnable game, and it snowballed the other way. Now you got 4 consecutive losses. And it was such a thin margin, I think, for what, you know, especially at this point, you know, like, it was 20 games into the season. So the time was running out, and you're around it. You know, the U.S. Thanksgiving mark, where, you know, those records and the standings usually, you know, indicate who's going to make the playoffs. So, again, not that this team was in the playoffs, but I think there was some desperation, and it felt like that Minnesota game going the wrong way just led to momentum, you know, what we've seen over the last week, and them just not figuring it out, and Richardson kind of going back to the blender. So, yeah, I think that's a big question for the remainder of the season, was how much of this is on Bertuzzi and Tara Vinen and Davidson's roster construction, and how much falls on the coaching, and whether this is Luke Richardson or if a different head coach can get something more out of this group.
You mentioned Anders Sorensen. He's going to take over for the Blackhawks as the interim head coach. How much of his priority is not just kind of getting this team back on track collectively versus getting Connor Bedard back on track, and then when the Frank Nazars and Kevin Korchinskis potentially, if they see NHL action, maybe Landon Slaggart later this year, that there's kind of that built-in rapport and they can transition from the minors to the NHL fairly seamlessly going into the rest of the season?
Yeah, and I mean, you just brought it up too, that I do think if you get Connor Bedard going, I think, you know, potentially this whole team gets going, right? Like, it's not like they're that far off. Like, there was another stat over the last, you know, start of the season where if they score 3 goals, like, they were like 7-2-0 or something, 7-2, like, and then if he scored, you know, fewer than 3 goals, like, the record was just the complete opposite. So I think their offense is such a key to, you know, kind of, yeah, just getting this team going. So I think Bedard is, you know, like, he's the main factor. He's the one who can take off. I think Bertuzzi and Tara Vinen certainly have more in them, but Bedard's ceiling is so high. So I think if you get him going, that you can probably get those other guys going too. And it's sort of unfortunate maybe that Richardson didn't get Nazar or someone to kind of spark this group, you know, like it didn't feel far off. Nazar has been playing really well in Rockford. Over the last 10 games, I think it's like 7 goals and 9 assists. Like, he's really second in the AHL in points. Like, it felt like he's really close to a call-up. And, you know, the fact that Kurashev is just, you know, he's had such a rough season and hasn't been, you know, they obviously hoped that he'd be the second-line center, or when that didn't work, you know, give him another chance with Bedard, and he's struggling. And it feels like someone like Nazar maybe steps into that spot and sparks them. And not that he's the savior, but I think this group needs another offensive player. And it wasn't Athanasiou, and you know, just down the line, guys just haven't found their groove. So I think it will benefit that Sorensen has rapport with those guys. He has familiarity. I think he, you know, like, he certainly helped Nazar get to where he is. And you know, I think we'll see Slaggart, and you know, potentially at the end of the season we'll see Oliver Moore, and you know, potentially Ryan Green and Sam Renzel. So you'll have a lot of young guys come in, and having Sorensen's development background should help. But it'll be curious to see what they do here. I don't think Nazar is far off. Maybe it's not immediate, just because you want Sorensen to adjusting, and then adding another young player to the group might not be ideal. But I do think Nazar is close, and I think the fact that him and Sorensen have been together all season should benefit both of them.
Last one for you, Scott. This is probably more of a summer conversation that we'll be talking about. But when they do kind of
open, where are we going?
What's that?
so we can talk about some tennis?
I was going to say, I'm prepared. I'm ready for our next tennis match. We weren't able to squeeze one more in before the, but that's okay. Maybe we'll play indoor. We'll find an indoor one. when the Blackhawks do open up this full-blown head coaching search in the summer, how coveted is this job going to be at this stage? Whereas, you know, you look at some of the, you know, like I think of the Montreal Canadiens I was referencing as an example, where Marty St. Louis is the head coach. They have all the young players that are likely going to be cornerstones or in the NHL. And so if they do make a coaching change or whatever, it's kind of like they're elevating a team that already has the young players implemented. But right now with Chicago, it's Bedard, it's Vlasic, it's maybe Kaiser and Reichel that are going to be part of the next great play. So if you're a head coaching team, or if you're a head coach looking for an opportunity in the summer, is it a year too early of them stepping into the Chicago job, or will this be a coveted job this summer?
Yeah, it's, you know, usually these coaches are, you know, like they don't try to sit out too long. So it depends on how much, you know, how urgent, you know, what situation the coach is. And part of this can be the conversation probably with Davidson about what the expectations are, because it's unlikely the Blackhawks go from this to, you know, playoff team next season. You know, it's probably 2 or 3 years down the line still where they, you know, realistically can compete. You know, like a year from now, I don't know if the Blackhawks add a major piece this offseason. It depends on who's available. They'll have the cap space, but it's, you know, when it gets to free agency, there's only a few names who could potentially become a big UFA, and a lot of guys might not even get there. So I don't know how much different the team looks and how many of those young guys come in, and you're going to have to kind of prepare for some growing pains with it if you're bringing Levchinov or Krejcinski or Nazar or all, you know, a whole list of young guys that could potentially be in the NHL next year. So, yeah, I think those are all questions since Davidson will answer. And I do think Sorensen is, I think him getting this opportunity is, you know, him getting a fair chance to prove himself. I think the development angle and, you know, like you see someone who's into analytics and someone who studies the game, I think the Blackhawks really respect Sorensen. It's whether can he coach in the NHL. It's not the same thing. It's, you know, your job in Rockford is, yeah, I mean, you're putting Levchinov on the ice 25 minutes regardless of what he did. You know, he can be a -4 the day, but you want him to be learning from those mistakes in the NHL. You know, like if you're matching up with lines and you're managing ice time, and, you know, not necessarily young players are playing the most. So I think there's a lot more balance of winning and losing in the NHL than Rockford in the AHL. So I think that's something that'll be, you know, I'm curious over these 60 games, whether Sorensen, you know, if it's, he has those coaching chops and can kind of figure it out. But I think it'll be really interesting, where I think Sorensen will certainly get a look and he's an opportunity to prove himself. But Davidson also knowing that as he goes further into this rebuild and they look to turn the corner, that he wants an experienced coach and someone he can turn to. And you know, when times get bad, that they can figure it out and not just kind of throwing stuff against the wall. And I think that's where Richardson's, you know, downfall this season was, that he just he didn't have a, you know, kind of a solution to the problem.
Right. I feel like whether Sorensen becomes the permanent coach or not, he's still a valuable member of the organization as they kind of develop the rest of their prospects. So, Scott, thanks so much for doing this. You know how I feel about you. One of the best in the business. And well, I know you've done a lot for me in my career. And thanks for being a great friend and a mentor. And I'm looking forward to our next tennis match.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that was Scott Powers of The Athletic, one of the best in the very business. We got one more break, and then we're going to wrap up Blackhawks Live next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Remeliotis here with Jack Heinrich, talking about the big news of the day, the Blackhawks relieving head coach Luke Richardson of his duties after you know, a tough start to the season for Chicago that had a little bit higher expectations on where the season was supposed to go this year. And I think we can kind of point to some of the reasons as why, as we laid out. Scott Powers did a great job as well. It kind of got me thinking, I know this is going to be more of a summer type conversation, just about the potential coaches that could be available for the Blackhawks. And you know, I was thinking about when the Blackhawks over the summer, they reportedly made a run at Jake Guentzel, and Jake Guentzel was also offered a contract by Tampa Bay, right? And so he clearly took the Tampa Bay Lightning job. And so you wonder when Chicago is going to start to become one of the primary destinations. I mean, it always is when they're winning, but you kind of, you know, if you're trying to land a big fish, you have to kind of wonder, okay, when is that window going to open where it's the perfect time for guys to start signing here? And in the same way about a head coach, like, you know, the guy that immediately comes to mind is Mike Sullivan from the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, if things continue to go sideways in Pittsburgh and he shakes loose over the summer, could that be a guy the Blackhawks look at? Mike Sullivan was actually a development coach for the Blackhawks in the 2014-15 season when they won their third of the three Stanley Cups in that dynasty era. So it'd be a familiar face. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because Anders Sorensen is also going to get a look. But I imagine when they identify that next guy, they're hoping that the coach has experience, has Stanley Cup pedigree. I mean, a potential long shot would be John Cooper with Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay is off to they're having a great season. Felt like more of a conversation last season because he was going into the final year of his contract, and now his contract expires in 25-26. So again, that feels like a total long shot, but just trying to think about some names that could become available for the Blackhawks to potentially look at. But man, it feels like if Mike Sullivan shakes loose from Pittsburgh, that would be the guy to give a blank check to.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially with the season that Pittsburgh's had. I admit he might be available, but it is really, really early, and you just hope that... I agree. I think they should get somebody that's coached before, good player development, and then they'll have some of the young guys up, I would think, next year. I mean, Nazar's knocking on the door, and maybe Levshinov and Korchinski have a good end of the year, and they're up too, and you have some of those guys in place like you were talking about.
So the Blackhawks are going to be practicing tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Kyle Davidson is going to meet with the media at 9:45. That's when he's going to address the firing of Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson and talking about the transition into interim head coach Anders Sorensen. Sorensen is going to be speaking to the media at around 12:30-ish after practice. So we'll get sound from Davidson tomorrow. I'm sure Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno will talk about it. Other notable veterans inside the locker room. And we'll see what kind of the tone is, especially inside that Blackhawks locker room, how this is kind of shaking them up, how the Blackhawks are going to respond to this, and if this change could potentially unlock some offensive scoring by the Blackhawks, not really power play, but 5-on-5 specifically. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting next few weeks, a busy day tomorrow. Jack, thanks for rolling with this. I almost shredded the first script. It was ready to go, and then I had to totally rework it. So
that happens in this business sometimes.
All right, that's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hawks versus Jets on Saturday. Pregame show starts at 2:30 right here on 720 WGN. We'll talk to you then.